What's up, fam? Welcome to the Mostly Normal Gamers podcast, episode 186, we've decided. We are recording not as we discussed on December 13th, but December 18th, rather, 2023. Joining me is the whole crew today. We got Angie, Chris, and James here. We'll start going in alphabetical order and, oddly enough, counterclockwise on my screen. Angie, how are you?
I'm good. I realize I got barbecue sauce on my shirt, so...
Oh. Well, that's alright.
Good thing you guys can't really see it.
Yeah. Sublime wouldn't care anyway.
And I mean, they might be excited about it.
Maybe. Chris, what's up?
I'm feeling much healthier than I was on Wednesday when I said,
oh, good.
Sorry, I'm not recording.
Hi. It's all good,
happy
dude.
To be here.
'Tis the season to get sick.
Even in India.
What?
People who work on my team in India also today during a meeting. Oh, man, I'm so sick right now. And I was like, it's going around. I thought it was just Madison, Wisconsin, but... All parts of the continent.
It's going.
All parts of the world. So.
I have a feeling they're unrelated, but maybe. You never know. And James.
Hey!
Last, but certainly not least. James is dressed all fancy in a sports coat, and maybe even a turtleneck. Yeah. I can't really tell.
It is a turtleneck.
And is that velvet?
It is, yeah, it's velvet. It's
a little velvet. Known fact about me, if it was socially acceptable, I would... wear velvet all the time.
Why isn't it socially acceptable?
That was a Seinfeld reference.
Oh.
So, never.
So, clear. Whoops.
James, with Canada's socialized healthcare system, are people getting sick up there, or is everyone doing pretty well?
No, everybody's sick. I just got out of the hospital this week.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad you're back in the land of the walking.
The land of the walking, not the land of the sitting and lying down. Yeah, yeah no, it's... when I got in there, I went in at 2:30 in the morning, and it was dead. And I didn't get to get a bed until... I don't know. I want to say 5:30 in the morning, because there's just so much stuff happening.
Yeah.
Despite nobody being around at 3 in the morning.
That's
so
crazy,
it was packed. There's like nobody, there's no room in our hospitals. It's just people, it's stuffed to the gills with people.
It's almost
people
like
people are
you
underpaid
apply...
and you know, it's almost like there's a nurse shortage everywhere.
Even in the US though, there's a nurse shortage. Did you know when you apply market forces to things and enforce scarcity upon people, you can reduce the number of customers you have who can't afford to go to the hospital, and then there's less of a wait.
Ah.
Anyways, I'm not going to talk about the politics of medicine anymore on this stream.
All right. Stop using economics to explain healthcare.
Look, I had a healthcare economics capstone course in college, okay?
You should have forgotten that long
ago. Literally
one
of the things they talked about.
Well, if I didn't already
welcome
say so,
welcome to Planet Money
our...
from NPR.
Yeah, this works. This is our slow transition into a politics podcast.
We're changing. We're
never
rebranding.
Yeah, rebranding.
Mostly normal politics.
With the 2024 U.S. presidential election coming up, we knew we had to get in where the money's good. And do you know what people love listening to? People complaining about politics.
We've been purchased by Fox News, guys.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah. I made an offer I can't say no to.
Anyway. I guess if I was ever going to make a heel turn, now would be the time.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be a big old 180. You might snap your neck turning that fast. Yeah, this is our Goaty episode, y'all. And as I've been doing with the last few episodes, I'm flying by the skin of my, or by the seat of my pants.
The skin of your teeth.
That's what
the
I meant to say.
The seat of your teeth
but...
or the skin of your pants? Is the skin
I don't
of
like
your
either
pants
one.
Your butt?
I don't know. I think both are bad. Let's go with seat of your...
I don't like either.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're just going to throw it out there, see how it goes. But yeah, the... what do you call it? The lowdown. There's a bunch of stuff there. Angie makes me say the phone number because otherwise I'll forget. 507-291-2991. There's an email. There's Twitter or X. There's Twitch. There's YouTube. All sorts of stuff. Mostly Normal Monthly.
Yeah. Chris is going to be... Substack.com for a January published 2023 Game of the Year list. Coming to an inbox near you. Like, favorite, subscribe, share.
Do all those things. So, 2023. What a year, right? Not only for all of us, we've grown. You know what I mean? I mean, I got a new job this year. That's about it for me. My son started kindergarten.
Wow.
But video games, what do you guys, like, where does this rank up in recent memory since, like, the last I can remember is, like, 2017 was pretty 17. Lit with, and 2018 had God of War and Red Dead Redemption 2. But this is the best year.
Also really good, yeah. I think 2018 gets less shine because 2017 was the year right before it.
Yeah.
But,
and I feel like indies have just gotten just so much better, even. Like, yeah, that was, I mean, I guess we saw that one coming anyway, because what were they going to do? Get worse, I guess. But I don't know if it's become easier to develop games. I'm sure that's not the case, but, like, maybe more accessible to develop games, so more people are doing it. I'm not really sure. But the number of indies that we got this year that are up there at, like, the caliber of a AAA game as far as, like, being good is insane to me. I know this game is definitely on my list. I will say Sea of Stars, if you haven't played it, you have to do yourself a favor and play it, unless you are, hate turn-based strategy game, or not turn-based strategy, turn-based RPGs, turn-based, I guess.
Turn-based RPG.
Yeah, more so, more than myself, but the music is freaking fantastic. That's from the folks that made The Messenger. So, James, I know you played that one too. You got anything else to say about it?
It's fantastic. It's absolutely... If you love, like, the old-school Mario RPG or Chrono Trigger, those sort of games, this is a game you must play.
It's so agreed. Fun. Did any... Chris, Angie, did either of you play any noteworthy indies this year?
Well, I played the demo for Sea of Stars, and I was like, oh, this rules. I have it through Game Pass, but I want it on Switch. And this is a perpetual conundrum I face now. Because I don't think I would play through that whole game on Game Pass, but I would play through that whole game on Switch.
And that brings you to the reason I bought that freaking Rogue Ally thing. Was literally so that I could play Sea of Stars, like, in, like, around. Because I was the same. I don't sit down here and play my Xbox ever, which is weird. But... having that thing, I
does it let you play Game Pass games on it?
Yeah, it's honestly like the interface is just like a Windows operating system. It's
so
just,
are you running like Game Pass for PC native on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. And you can have any other launcher on there too.
Don't tempt me.
I think they're on sale for now for like $300 or $400, which is like half of what I paid for mine.
So, notable indies from this year, I guess, I don't think people would consider Jusant an indie, would you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I would.
I don't know. Is the Life is Strange team indie?
I wouldn't call them AAA.
Weren't they, like, part of Square Enix for a bit? Aren't they published by Square?
Jusant is an indie game.
Yeah, I would call it an indie game. They're like maybe double A. Or A.
Yeah.
Well, they call it independent developer and publisher, so whatever. On their website. Jusant, spoiler alerts for some later stuff, but like I adored Jusant and was like really pleasantly surprised by it. Venba was an indie that I played this year. Both of those were on Game Pass. As always, Game Pass is like an enabler for me in a bad way, but also in a really good way, where I get to check out a lot of independent games that I normally maybe wouldn't quite reach the threshold to break in on. Venba was a really lovely I want to say like an hour and a half or 2 hours on the couch with my girlfriend, almost like watching a movie together. I think we both really loved it.
Is that also on Game Pass?
It is. So it's about a family of folks from India who immigrate to Canada, and it discusses kind of generational differences in the way they accept and are accepted by their new homes. And it made me have a new... I love Indian food already, and it gave me a new, deeper understanding and appreciation for Indian food, and made me really excited about a dish that I'd kind of, like, not engaged with in Indian cuisine before, which I thought was really rad, just from the practice of, like, needing to make it, because it's a cooking game, and if you relate to... your family relates to one another through food, is kind of, like, the thesis there. So I think that game is spectacular. If, like, you know, it's more narrative heavy than gameplay heavy, but it's still got kind of cute puzzles, and I really adored the art style, and the music rips. And then, you know, just, I think largely I can squeeze a lot of what I was going to say for, like, my honorable mention section of stuff that didn't come out this year that I adored. Norco, Tunic, and A Short Hike all were going to be on my honorable mention list. Norco and Tunic, you know, Tunic was, I think, the show's game of the year last year. I loved it until I hated it. There's that one fight that I had to put the no-fail mode on for, which is a theme with some of these games that I think have weird difficulty spikes for me out of nowhere lately. But I'm glad that it has it, and that I was able to just, you know, break the game to get through it. You know, whatever. And then Norco had some of the most amazing writing and weirdest shit in a video game I've ever seen. And it uses, like, the person who designed it used to work for a GIS mapping company. And so it has, like, really interesting maps and, like, thinks about the geography and like, statehood of Louisiana in a really interesting way. And as a person who, like, really briefly lived in Louisiana, like, it has, like, really beautiful culturally specific things about New Orleans and Louisiana, such as, like, people being pissed off about white kids getting into bounce music. Like, it's just, like, very in touch with that specific culture and specific geography of that state and that community. And then, A Short Hike, like, would have been my number two game of the year if it came out this year. I just think it's a delight.
Yeah, I gotta make time to play that. I haven't played that yet. James, you finished that, right? Or you did it on stream for your
I did it on my
thing.
Charity stream. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
The most normal mustache.
The most normal mustache.
Yeah, so I know I just kind of scattershot it there. I didn't get to as many indies from this year as I would have wanted to, but I didn't get to as many games as I would have wanted to this year. You know, of all the years to take a class before going to grad school next year, to pick 2023 and shoot myself in the foot and not be able to check out potentially the best year of games, some people are saying ever, you know, I just didn't get as much time with everything. So... yeah, I really, really want to shout out A Short Hike, though. I think everyone should play it.
Yeah, I will go play that. I don't have any reason not to. Make sure it's on lots of things that I already own. But Jusant, I just finished that recently, and I agree, that game is fantastic. I like the exploration. What do you guys think? I think the holding of the R2 and L2, or trigger buttons, whatever you want to call them, I think there's something about that makes you, like, more engaged in what you're doing. Like, I was thinking about this with Death Stranding, too, because James and I were talking about it briefly. Like, that game makes you, like, kind of hold those two buttons to, like, balance your character, basically, right?
Yeah, and, like, you hold your backpack or whatever.
Yeah, and it's, I don't know if there's something in the physical, like, act of holding those triggers down that makes you, like...
I think it makes you
more
painfully aware of what your fingers are doing the whole time. And
because
you're, like, constantly doing this, there's strain there. And it's not a ton of strain, but over, like, an hour, suddenly you start to feel it. And you're like, oh, man. Like, and you are getting tired playing a game that is simulating rock climbing, which is not like, this is not, it's pretty good for like,
as it a is good. Who's
been rock climbing. Like, it's, yeah. It's pretty damn it's like on point. So yeah, no, I think that the stress of like the fingers and you're like, I gotta remember how to release, grab, like, and you're doing that. Like it just adds that little bit of mental taxation and physical taxation that like keeps you engaged with the game at all times.
Yeah. I really wanted to go back and like replay it. That game was, but I couldn't really find a good reason to do that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a ton of replayability unless you're big into getting all the collectibles or whatever. But.
Mm-hmm.
I thought when I first started it, I was like, oh, like this seems like a game where you could get all the collectibles really easily. And then as soon as I didn't, like I knew I had missed a few in a level or something. Or there was one where I was like, I can see that thing over there, the things with the three spinning columns that you kind of shift into
space. Oh, yeah.
Into order, and I could see it through a wall, and I was like, I spent like 20 minutes trying to navigate over to it, and I was like, I guess I'm not going for all the collectibles anymore, and just said F it. And like, I would maybe go back, just because like, I think in this game of all games, even if you were to go to a guide and be like, okay, what pathway do I take to find all the collectibles, you're still doing the verb of the game, which is the climbing. And I think different, like, as much as I think the stamina management in Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom is brilliant and inspired this game directly, like, this game merges the Uncharted branch of climbing games with Tears of the Kingdom, right? Uncharted being like, you can see there are clear handholds places. Tears of the Kingdom, Breath of the Wild being like, there's a stamina meter and you can, like, largely it's centered around climbing entirely. And so, like, I view it as, like, a really weird zipper merging of those two things. And, like, I think there's something specific to the, like, there's not much else to the game other than the fact that you're climbing it and then, like, engaging with the fact that there's beautiful art, beautiful sound design, and the notes that you find in the narrative and that. And, like, I was this close to being like, okay, we're going to go do chapter select and like, just go get it all. Because it is so tactile, like James was saying about holding down the buttons and stuff. So
it's fun. If you haven't played it, give it a shot, I would say. Also on Game Pass. A game that isn't on Game Pass, James,
my trademark phrase for the game entirety pass of our show.
Yeah, Pass. Turn off or take off your Christmas sweater and put on a Game Pass sweater. Chris should just have like a.
Only if they pay.
Yeah, they probably won't. James, what about your Sea of Stars? If I picked an indie of the year, Sea of Stars would no doubt be my indie. Although Jusant's really good. Sea of Stars, I thought the story was fantastic. The combat was good. I just thought everything about it was fantastic. James, do you want me to do a drum roll or something? Or I can edit in a drum roll later.
Nobody else gets a drum roll, just mine. All right.
Well, you're...
my indie of the year, I would say, would be Dredge. And this game got me by by surprise in a way that I was, like, not prepared for it to be. It's a fishing game. But it's also a horror fishing game, which is hilarious when you think about it. You're like, oh, nice, relaxing, catching fish. Now there's monsters. And it's very Lovecraftian. You're a fisherman who's been, like, your ship got shipwrecked. You got saved by this this little hamlet that they're like, here's a loaner boat. Go pay it off. And while you're paying it off and doing little side missions for all these different characters, you're exploring the world, and you're learning don't go out at night because it gets spooky. And then you have a panic meter, and at night it starts to really go off the deep end, I guess. the more you start to panic, the more monsters start showing up. But you can hook up a bunch of lights to your boat. But if you have the lights, that attracts the monsters that exist. So it's like this catch-22, and you're really just trying to get those fish back to harbor where you can get some rest. And the way, like, the characters are written in the story, like, it's, you're kind of uncovering, it's very Dark Souls where you're, like, you're finding notes and you're reading about, like, oh, like, I found another shipwreck, and you're reading about some character's storyline and stuff like that, and you're piecing together what's happening in the world, and there's five locales. You just go fishing, catch a bunch of fish in those areas, 120 fish or so to catch, but like the way it unravels is just such a perfect pace. You're not gonna have like this kitted boat in a way that like at the end of the game, if you 100% everything, everybody's boat's identical. It's not like you're getting like, this is my craft, right? It's, you're just upgrading.
Not like a gold boat or anything.
Yeah. You're just upgrading your ship to be better, to catch better fish, to use different types of fishing rods in different waters. So like the real fishing aspect of it is fun, and it's like relaxing, and the graphics are beautiful, and it's just easy to sink into. And then like, you gotta be aware of the time, because if it gets dark and you're out in the water and you're nowhere near port, you're starting to panic yourself, and it's like you start playing like this sort of like get back home mini game, and it's just such a cool experience. It's like 12 hours to beat that game. I 100%ed it. I absolutely loved it. I spent a week and a half on it, and a DLC just came out, so I want to check that out. But
yeah, is that the one with Dave the Diver?
No, that's the other direction, I think. I think Dredge is in Dave the Diver now.
Oh, is it?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on Game Awards, I think.
Okay, cool.
Do you got to catch them all, the fish? No. You've got to catch them all?
No, but you can.
Gotta catch them all, but you don't gotta catch them.
There is one that I spent literally hours trying to catch, because it only appears at very seldom times and a very low percentage in certain spots, and I spent so long trying to get it. Other than that, yeah, they're all pretty damn attainable, except for that one fish, Like I said, like, once you start filling in that book, you're like, oh, I really want to know what that other fish is. Like you can see, like, the silhouette of it, and you're like, oh, this one's freaky looking. Because, yeah, like, sometimes you can catch a fish, but every fish has one or two mutated versions of itself. So you want to try and get the mutated versions and find all of the... It's cool. It's such a... I strongly recommend people that are, like, into this style of game, like... Even if you're not, like, a fishing game person, but, like, just, like, the sort of, like, you want to, like, you're sort of micromanaging resource managing, that's what you're doing. You're trying, I got this much room in my boat, I've got this much power, I need to be able to get to this port, so I need to make sure I have this engine, but this engine takes up this much space of my boat. And so it's, like, all of this sort of, like, setting yourself up for success. By the end of the game, you're just like, whatever, I'm just blasting across the ocean with no care in the world, because my boat's so fast, it's got so much space, I've got armor, I've got lots of lights.
Any part of that, like, resource management that, like, reminds you of the inventory puzzles in a Resident Evil game? Like,
yes.
Is that 100%. The way that it draws upon almost like a survival horror mechanic?
Yep, that's almost so identical. Like, you're rotating fish to get them to fit into your hull, just or, like, your boat just perfectly. And it's a little bit of, like, that Tetrising. You're like, well, this fish is shaped like an L, sort of. So I'm gonna manage to, like, stick him over here and nestle him right in with the lights over here. And then, like, oh, I'm going to take this square fish, this big chonker, and he's going to go sit down by the engines because there's lots of space down there. And yeah, no, it gets really, it's really finicky like that. And there's times where you're like, I just can't fit this fish on my boat. So I guess I'm got to leave them, or I got to dump a bunch of crabs or something like that. And it's a cool game. It's a really, really cool game. It's great for a chill afternoon or week or something like that.
Does the story go anywhere?
Yes. Yeah, the story's got a twist that had me gasp.
Oh, really?
That was me.
Gasping. One last question. What's the fishing mechanic like? Is it
It's super passive?
Simple. Like, is it fun? You is push, it gamified? You push,
yeah, it's gamified. So, like, each type of fish has a different way of catching it. But okay. Essentially, you're just pushing the, like, there's a wheel or something like that. And you're pushing the button when it gets to the green spot. And that's about okay. it. But you have to do it, like, a bunch of times. And if you fail, you don't lose the fish or anything like that. It just takes more time. And you got to remember that the longer you take, the closer it gets to dark time. And dark time's scary, and you don't want to be out in the dark. And there's just such cool, like, atmospheric stuff. Like, the sound design's great. Like, just hearing the boats creaking and the water sloshing and stuff like that. And then, like, you'll be out at dark, and you're, like, on your way back, and you can just see, like, silhouettes of boats in the distance and or in the darkness. And you're like, what is going on? And, like, occasionally you'll hear, like, you'll honk your horn, and you'll hear, like, other horns honking around you. And you're like, what's happening?
But you don't know if it's, like, real or if you're just losing your shit. Like,
yeah, and it's so good. It does such a good job at doing that. And it creates this real, real beautiful atmosphere.
Because if I remember right, isn't it, like, it's not just that you're out past dark, it's that you're out and you're, like, tired. So the argument is, like, you're becoming delirious to a certain extent.
Yeah, and the panic is pushing you over the edge. Yeah. It plays into that sort of Lovecraftian, mental state where the more weak your mind is, the more susceptible you are to seeing what's beyond the veil.
Yeah. I played the demo and I did enjoy it. I will hopefully go back and play it at some point. I still kind of wait out some games to see if they're going to come to Game Pass eventually, but that one's probably past that opportunity. Same thing with Dave the Diver. I played that demo and that game has a lot of promise. I know a lot of people liked it and maybe we'll go back and do that. I did want to shout out a few more games just before we get to the GOTY, which I know will shock everyone. One game I thought was just under appreciated, not only at the Game Awards, but just in general, was Hogwarts Legacy. I thought that game was freaking fantastic, and I know Angie's playing it right now. Angie, are you having a good time with it?
Yeah, I just started playing it, and I think it's absolutely beautiful. The way they built everything, the way everything looks, like the forest, the little creatures. I mean, I took a video of going through Gringotts Bank because it was so awesome. Like, you're sitting, you have the little goblin driving the little cart. It's not a mine cart, but anyway, just a little cart.
It's like a mine
cart. On rails. Kind of. Yeah, it's like on rails, and like, so you're sitting on another side with another person, and the cart does these loop-de-loos, but your cart stays, like, chill. Like, it doesn't, like, it moves with, what's the word I'm looking for? You know how if you move a bird, its head stays the same area? It's like the seat stays, but everything else moves around it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A gimbal.
But no, the game in general is really fun. I just got to a part where I did flying class, so I was flying around on the broomstick. That was very interesting to even do that. I knew I was going to be doing that at some point, but I was like, wow, this actually looks really awesome. Everything flowed really beautifully.
They nailed the broom flying, I think. Chris made the comparison I made a bad comparison that I can't remember or analogy, and then Chris brought up the like Spider-Man, like flinging a web in Spider-Man, and it is like that. Like it feels like you imagine that it should.
Yeah, it's just so smooth. Basically, it's what it is. It's very smooth. The game's fun. It does bring in some things from the movie, but it changes a few things like. Some of the spells are differently named, and I'm wondering if they did that for, like, movie right, like, the rights for some, like, from the movie. That makes sense?
Yeah. I don't recall. I was amazed how you could just literally fly anywhere, and you can go up and land, and, like, you just Like, there's no loading or anything. I don't know how this game is running on Switch. What are you playing it on?
I'm playing on my Xbox X.
Okay.
I downloaded the game that came with a Dark Arts Battle Arena, a Dark Arts Cosmic Set, a Dark Arts Hat, and the Thestral Mount. And
you be careful getting into them Dark Arts.
I was able to actually, when you're in the game, you get points after a certain level, I think level 5. So then these points you can put towards how you want to level up your character, being the Dark Arts, potions, and herbs, and controlling yourself. There's a few other ones. I think there was 4 other ones or something. 3 or 4 other ones. But it's just how you make yourself out, and then that's how your character becomes. So you can be a very dark person. You can be very light and fun person. You can be kind of in between. I know in the beginning you do the sorting hat, and if you choose a certain answer, you go to a certain house. What did you choose?
Great question. Ravenclaw, maybe?
You don't know your house?
I'd have to look.
Unbelievable.
What?
I can't remember.
Blasphemy.
If you give me a second, I can look.
Wild to me that I completely forgot came out this year.
I didn't want to get it right away because I was like, I don't know if I want to spend that much money, because some games they come out and they have all this hype, but it ends up being like crapshoot. But this, I was like, I seen it was on sale 50% off or something, or 70% off even, the one that I got. So I was like, fuck it, I'll buy it. Let's see what happens. And it ended
fuck
being,
around and find out awesome. For that much off, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was good though. It's good so far.
I think it's very charming. I think the dialogue and the way characters interact with each other. I think mm-hmm. The music is great. I thought they did a fantastic job with it for what they had.
I would also agree. There's one character. Her name is Natty. She's one of my favorite characters so far, because they're saying that there's other wizarding. Schools, not just Hogwarts. Like, there's one in different parts of the world, which I thought that was what's crazy? I wouldn't even think of that, but yeah, thought that was cool too.
Yeah, I'm trying to see which house I was in, but I don't remember. I was probably very
blue,
what's
or yellow.
Hufflepuff. This guy over here.
Yeah. what's Gryffindor? Right? Isn't that what
red?
Harry Potter is from. Yeah.
Was that your accent?
yeah, that was my Cockney accent. It's as good as it gets. Merlin's beard, it's Harry Potter.
They say Merlin's beard so often in that game too.
That's one of, I know, it's great. I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Couple more. Let's see. Spider-Man 2, that was great. Right, James? Okay. Didn't get a game award. It got gypped again. Or not gypped. Like, it was a hard year. I think it went up against tough composition. I'm not sure what it would have won compared to the ones that beat it in the categories it was nominated for.
I think
it
got gypped. I'll say that.
It's
I don't know where it would have won.
Yeah, it's so hard when it's your games. Even with the game, the Game Awards, Jeff Keighley's Game Awards, Tears of the Kingdom didn't win Game of the Year. And in a year where Tears of the Kingdom doesn't win, it's so hard to how incredible of a year could this, clearly it's been an incredible year that there's so many other games that, that came out and it still didn't, I don't know. It just blows my mind. So yeah, I do feel that Spider-Man deserved something, but, I mean, it got nominated, and let's not discredit anything that got nominated. Everything that got nominated are phenomenal, right?
So, absolutely.
I've been sort of poking around at some of the website Game of the Year lists. I didn't see it winning Game of the Year. I know Polygon gave it to Tears I think it's been like roughly an even split, more or less, between Baldur's Gate and Tears of the Kingdom on the website lists, and then I think VGC gave it to Alan Wake 2. And apologies for the weird change in my voice and any coughing and stuff. I had to grab a cough drop, and I thought the sick was all the way gone, but it's coming back to get me.
I got the sick. Yeah.
But like, you were talking about Spider-Man 2, right? And it's like, I think the same thing largely played out with Spider-Man 1, because it was the year that I think, wasn't that...
God of War and...
Was Horizon and Spider-Man...
Horizon was 2017.
Horizon is the one that had Breath of the Wild step on it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then 2018 was Spider-Man.
God
of War and Red Dead Redemption Spider-Man. 2.
And Spider-Man, but those stepped on Spider-Man then.
Yeah, yeah. And this year it was stepped on by, it really got trampled. Like a Walmart on Black Friday trampled.
I mean, it sold a bunch, and it reviewed really well.
Like, it's a good game. It's a
fantastic game.
I think, like, this is a good point at which to say, like, not every game can be the best game that came out that year. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I thought I was tired of Spider-Man, and I loved Spider-Man 2 so much that I went back and played Miles Morales after I was done with Spider-Man 2, because I wanted to play more frickin' Spider-Man, so, yeah.
The machete cut of Spider-Man games.
It's great. And then the last one I have that I want to shout out is Resident Evil 4. I am continued to be flabbergasted by how good they are at, like, being authentic to the original, yet reinventing it in new ways that make it newly fantastic and great and great to engage with. It's great. And the Separate Ways DLC, which apparently James said was in the original one too, is also awesome. So
I don't think it was called. I think it was like Ada.
Yeah, like Ada something Wong, something. It, something starring Ada Wong popped up.
The Adventures of Ada Wong.
That's what it
I've seen and played the opening village section of Resident Evil 4 so many times. Like, I had friends who would just play that game, and we would watch and get scared in high school.
Yeah.
This was, like, a thing we did. And I played the demo of the remake, and I was like, it was the middle of the day. I don't really play that many horror games, especially, like, I really loved Dead Space. Bearing a lead here, I really love the game Dead Space. I think Dead Space is a masterpiece. I have not touched the remake, even though it got added to Game Pass, because I think that's going to look too gross. So, I'm playing the Resident Evil 4 demo, remake demo, and I was like, I don't think I can do this. This is too unsettling. I don't like this chainsaw man chasing me. I ran out of ammo, backing away from the chainsaw guy, and I was like, ugh. It's so good. It's so stressful.
Yeah.
And that was just the demo. I will get that game on sale one day, you know? Like, it's just in the back of my mind.
Yeah. I still want to play it on VR.
Oh, I've heard it's so good.
I was telling James, I almost bought a Quest VR recently, and then I was like, I don't have time for this shit. Like, why do I keep buying all this stuff and then just being like, oh, now I can play, I have more access to more games that I don't have time to play. So any other games?
I don't give you permission to tag me in that post, John.
I got one more. Post?
So I felt called out because I do the same thing. Heard there's a killer app for Quest 3. Some like open world RPG just dropped. Anyways, you have one
there's
more.
There's Asgard's Wrath too. I've heard.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's all I got.
James, do your shout outs and then I want to do my shout outs.
James, do you want me to do a drum roll? No?
Yeah, I want you to do a drum roll.
That was a joke. I don't know how to.
Metroid Prime got remastered this year.
We'd skip this one.
No. Speaking of games that I bought and haven't played.
It was so good. It's so good.
You know what game has the best music ever?
That's not true. I love old games.
Music of all time, Metroid Prime. Best title screen music of any video game. Full stop.
He's not wrong. So
no,
all right.
The vibes are out of control.
So what did James? What did you like so much about the remake? Was it just like a
It was just the game that I loved in its all its glory in a better, just better graphics. It's handheld. I can take it anywhere. And the controls are just modernized in a way that was far more accessible than the way they did it originally, which was unique for what they did, right? But like being able to move and shoot and look and shoot and all of those sort of things at the same time was just changed how you experienced it. But yet it remained the same game. Fantastic. Absolutely beautiful. I'm so happy that it came out.
The only thing that it makes me sad about is realizing that they're going to take $60 of my money every time they put a GameCube game on Switch instead of putting a GameCube online.
But it was worth $60.
Well, it was only $40, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Whatever.
Y'all, they're bringing they're remaking a thousand-year door.
Yes, they are. And it's going to be just as good. And that's going to be the same thing, right? Like it's going to be
the swan song.
The exact same thing for how great GameCube game is going to be portable, better graphics, it's going to be beautiful, it's going to have some modernized controls, and it's just going to be amazing.
In the back of my mind, those two games on GameCube had perfect graphics at the time and wouldn't have possibly needed a visual update.
Yeah.
And Wind Waker.
And Wind Waker. Yeah. And I've seen the HD Wind Waker. I get it. But in the back of my memory, I was like, video games will never look better than Metroid Prime and Paper Mario. Thousand Year Door. That's when it peaked.
So it was all downhill from there.
Now it's all just fidelity shit.
Yeah.
But like...
Any other...
Anyways.
Shouty outs?
I have to do my... Are we doing a top five? Are we going to get to the top five? Or do you want me to shout out the rest of my stuff? Okay.
Yeah.
Reverse order. Honorable mention, because it was already on my list last year. Marvel Snap. Substitute placement. Pokemon the Trading Card Game for Game Boy. This is my obligatory card game sicko moment. Pokemon the Trading Card Game for Game Boy is on everyone's Nintendo Switch if they have Nintendo Switch online. And is definitively one of the most addicting video games ever made. Try it now. Special mention and number four on my top five list for 2023 games, Fortnite Festival. They're going to put out plastic guitars next year, y'all. Watch out, I'm never playing another video game again in my life.
Like a Guitar Hero situation?
Like a Guitar Hero situation, Angie. There's four of us. There are four instruments in Fortnite Festival.
James isn't here for
it. I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can get involved with a Fortnite situation.
I was this
bring back Guitar Hero.
I was this close. First of all, so we're all aware that Epic Games bought Harmonix, the people who created Guitar Hero and Rock Band, right? And that this mode is made by Harmonix. It's literally just Rock Band.
Don't forget Amplitude.
Like, don't forget Amplitude. Don't
and
forget
Frequency.
That's what I'm saying. Now, does it suck butt when you try to play the game on Expert because you played Guitar Hero on Expert growing up? But you're playing it on a controller, and the mapping of the buttons makes no sense no matter what you do. Yes, it sucks butt. But some company's going to make me a guitar controller, and my life is going to go away. So that's my number four game of the year, even though it's been out for like a week, and I've played it twice.
Well, it's all right.
Venba, I already talked about it, number three game of the year. Jusant, number two game of the year for 2023. And then my last two shout-outs, Knights of the Old Republic, turns out I really miss RPGs that aren't open-world games and are, like, a little bit more straight scripted linear narrative, and BioWare used to be the goats at that. Shout out to BioWare RPGs and kind of the modern version of them, or the old modern version of them, starting with Knights of the Old Republic. And then I played a lot of Pokemon this year. Pokemon Violet was a Pokemon game. I fell down the rabbit hole doing Eevee and Ivy breeding like I always do. But it was really nice. I got it as a Valentine's gift for my girlfriend and I. We played them together. And it was kind of cute.
Sounds dirty.
Yeah, you know, I've been breeding a lot of Pokemon, so you want to talk about dirty. I have given Pokemon more picnics than I've ever given my girlfriend.
More picnics?
It's getting heated up in here.
Don't make me start talking about how you need to have a picnic to breed a Pokemon. You're going to leave this podcast.
Well, I wanted to say Pentiment is one that I wanted to mention.
Was that this year?
I have no idea, but I played it this year, and
December,
I liked it.
It was December last year.
Oh, man.
It's like
that's
how...
No, yeah, that's...
It's
that's
like
totally
how SZA put out her album, SOS, in December of last year, after all of the best music of the year lists came out. And so it was the number one album on Pitchfork's top 50 albums this year, because of course it was. So go on, Angie. What I'm saying is, if Pitchfork can do it, you can do it.
No, we're good.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I thought the game was fun. It was very interesting. It pulled me in to where I actually finished the game after starting it. And that's to say something for me when I'm playing video games, apparently, because I don't finish them. So, I don't know. I liked it. I liked the decisions you can make. I'm going to go back to it again and make some different decisions to see what the outcome would be, just for fun. And I just wanted to mention that one out there.
Yeah. More power to you.
I think that says a lot about a narrative decision-making game that you're incentivized to want to come back and just see how different it plays out. That's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm so pissed I didn't play more of that game this year. I was so excited about it, and then life happened.
It's still on Game Pass.
As it does.
Oh, and it probably always will be, because wasn't it made by the people that do
Obsidian.
The...
Obsidian.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're the owned thing. By Xbox now.
Okay, so, are we ready for the... Are we down to no more shoutouts?
There's one more thing. You just raised a question that I want to put a pin in, but I want to plant the seed for everyone.
Okay.
Plant it.
I believe Xbox has removed Xbox Game Studios games from Game Pass before, being I think they took one of the older Forza Horizons off when they added Forza Horizon 5.
Oh.
Do you think we ever get into a world where Xbox Game Studios content is no, like, because, like, I think of Game Pass as every Xbox game will be there forever. Every Xbox Game Studios game will be there forever in perpetuity. But I think that's actually a fool's errand and a foolish perspective. So I just want to put a pin in that, because that terrifies me.
Well, yeah, we don't have to go down that rabbit hole right now, but it wouldn't surprise me if that someday is the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think James has a different thing than the show's Game of the Year that he still needs to talk about. And speaking of Game Pass, it'll never be on Game Pass.
But you don't know that. Never say never, man.
I don't know.
First.
A story about it.
I want to shout out our sponsor, Magic Mind. As you've probably heard for the last two episodes, Magic Mind's like an energy shot that's one of those green things that probably scares the shit out of you if you're at the grocery store and you see them in the refrigerated aisle and you're like, what is that? It probably tastes like shit. This one, I assure you, does not. And it's helped me replace coffee in my daily routine. It's an all-natural, vegan, paleo, all the good things. Supplement. More or less, that'll help you get through your day more energized and focused. You can check it out at magicmind.com. Go to magicmind.com/gamers and enter the code GAMERS20 to save on your order. And with that, James, we're all waiting with bated breath, and I'm not going to make the drum roll joke again. We're assuming that you have a different game of the year.
I'm
than the rest
of us. No, I don't want to hear it if it's different. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
go ahead.
I do have a different game of the year. I do accept that the very obvious game of the year, which anybody listening to the podcast knows what the obvious game of the year is. But for me, there was a game that topped it. And a game that I was not expecting to top it. And that's Baldur's Gate 3. And I know it won Game of the Year at Jeff Keighley's show. But man, that game is a good game.
And when did you play it? Sorry.
When?
Yeah.
I'm still playing it. It never ends.
Well, like, when did you start it?
When it came out. The release date. And then I'm still playing it. I haven't beaten it.
How many hours into it are you? Because I talked to somebody who's like over 350 120, hours.
Maybe.
Okay. So somebody at a Thanksgiving party was 340 hours into the game without having beaten it.
I mean, there's the game is so vertically dense. It's like while the area maps are not huge and whatnot, there's just so much. The game, the biggest thing for me is the game almost never says no. So if you want to do something, you probably can. And in a world of magic, that's pretty big yes to anything. There's stuff like it's just so, I want to get into this building. Well, it's locked. Well, my guy with the lockpicking skill, oh, I don't have any lockpicks. All right, well, let's try and break down the door. All right, you can break down the door. There's just like lots of little layers of aspects of like every aspect of this game has been like curated for an experience. And it's not just like, I don't know, like a typical, like you walk through a town in a typical video game and you got all these mundane NPCs. Well, this game feels like these NPCs are characters. They all have names. They all have personalities. Even the like the two kids on the block that are like calling each other names and stuff like that, they have these sort of like characters that fill out the world, and it's just such a cool experience to immerse yourself into. The voice acting is superb. Like every character is voice acted. The only time you don't hear voice acting is when you're making character dialogue choices, and that's because you can play as multiple different characters throughout your playthrough, and hiring like six actors to do every single voice line of the main character in the game would be insane, especially because how much actual dialogue is spoken in the game. It's turn-based CRPG that has lots of like dialogue paths. It is literally the Fallout game that I've been waiting for in a fantasy setting, and it's amazing. So I'm very happy with that. The combat is just incredible. It's not just like, oh, I'm in a fight with these goblins. Better, my turn, I'm going to smack them. Their turn, they're going to smack me. There's a lot, like, environments are a huge aspect in this game. Like, it's like, oh, I saw that guy walked in some water. I'm going to cast a lightning spell, and it's going to do some bonus damage. It's going to electrify the water for anybody walking into it. Oh, I can throw oil at enemies, making them weak to fire and vulnerable to fire. There's stuff like, oh, I noticed that guy's on a catwalk. Maybe I can... Do I have an attack that can push? Oh, yeah, I do. I'm going to push him off the catwalk and see him fall two stories and die. instead of, like, just, like, engaging. But, like, everything you can do, the enemies can also do. So it's, like, it really engages you to, like... And they will take advantage of it. Enemies will just walk up and push you over an edge if you're just standing there. So it's really... It gets you thinking outside the box. I'm trying to think of another, like Fallout, like I'm going to keep bringing back Fallout because this gets me so excited for CRPGs. But like there's boss fights that I've beaten without fighting them. There is like one specific boss fight where he like challenges you to a drinking contest, and I outdrank him to the point that the monster exploded from imbibing too much of his toxic waste alcohol thing. And it, like, I had to do a series of checks. And I, like, I had God on my side because I was a cleric. And so I just kept using that to give me a huge bonus. And, I outdrank this giant, essentially, and he ended up dying, and I didn't have to fight him in combat. And it was just, what a great experience. Like, you can't do that in any game, right? Like, it'll be like, oh, do you beat the dialogue option, or do you, like, I don't know. Yeah. It was just such a such a creativity. The game's got three acts. Each act is, like, significantly, like, different in tone. So it's kind of like you're... And they're huge. Like, they're a game in themselves. So it's kind of like you're playing three games in one. Every one of the characters are written incredibly. Like, just so much depth to them. They're not, like, two-dimensional, like, oh, I have these... Like, everybody's got their motivations. They've got their backstory that's just absolutely gut-wrenching and tragic. And then by the end of it, like... You can take them down the path that the character wants, but more often than not, the path the character wants is flawed, and you have to help them realize the true answer and go through a character arc and change and, like grow as a character, and it's just such incredible writing. Like, it's so, so good. Larian absolutely knocked it out of the park. I'm so close to the end. Like, I'm just tying up all of, like, the... my last character arc stories, and then I have, like, the last mission to do. But, man, like, it is so, so dense and so rich. I'm feasting.
Are you playing it on PlayStation?
I'm playing it on PC.
Okay. Do you think it would translate it okay to a controller?
Yeah. Controller-wise, I get worried about... I think it would be fine, but as far as, like, mouse, like, clicking on... I don't know. I feel like I always find... any, like, of those sort of turn-based tactics games on controller never fully... I think it slows things down a bit. I think it would be fine. As far as I've heard, people playing it on PlayStation and Xbox and stuff like that... I'm Xbox now. But as far as I'm aware, people have been playing it fine on those consoles, but... I think
looking at the game images, it seems that playing it on PC would be actually easier.
Yeah, I just think.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I would like to try it, but I hate PC gaming so much.
I don't hate it. I just never do it.
That's. Like, I just don't like a mouse and keyboard is not my jam. Like, I just don't dig it. Like, I don't know why.
Like,
I'm 100% behind you on that, but I am playing it on mouse and keyboard because of the style of game. It's kind of like playing an RTS. Right. You don't want to play an RTS with a controller.
What was the other one? What was the other CRPG that's come out that everybody loved like 3 years ago? It came out totally different from this one.
Pillars
and now it's on
Switch. No, that's
Switch.
That was
no, it's ago, not.
But,
You're like this cop, and he starts off.
Oh yes, Disco Elysium.
Yes.
Yeah.
I played that on controller, and that was fine, absolutely.
But
it's
that's not,
not
a
it's
tactical
not in the same...
combat game, right?
Yeah. Like, it's all dialogue options. Like that game is Fallout without the combat.
Oh okay. Anyway,
but it's very good. I played it.
How
this year.
Close to XCOM combat? Is the combat in...
I don't know.
Okay, because I played XCOM Remake, like the XCOM 2000 whatever version, the Firaxis XCOM on Xbox, and I thought that played well for a game that I would think is like largely comparable combat, but anyways.
I mean, it's the same idea, right? It's turn-based tactical combat, so.
Yeah.
If there was ever a video game to get me to actually play my gaming computer, you'd think it would be this, but it just came out on Xbox.
Same thing.
So, actual game of the year is...
Actual game of the year.
I get it, alright?
Rip to James, but the rest of us are different.
No, I mean, obviously it won for a reason, so I wanted to check it out after hearing all, like, you won this, and I got annoyed, but I was like, you know what, I got to see what this game is about, so...
Yeah.
Since it's coming on Xbox, I might check it out. But looking at the images, like I said, I might have to clear some space on my PC or install some more storage.
Yeah, is it
but anyways,
a few hundred thousand gigabytes?
I have no idea what the storage is on it, but I can't imagine that I have space for it with all the other weird shit on my computer. So
it does have co-op.
Oh, does it?
It's multiplayer.
So we could all become PC D&D nerds together.
Yeah.
I don't think John's going to join, but...
I totally would if I...
We all...
Naked ladies, John. There's naked ladies.
You can have sex with a bear, John.
Why?
No.
Why? You're going the wrong way, Chris.
No. I can't imagine that that's true.
It is true.
Why was that the bait to get me?
I know. I don't know why.
I mean, it works.
Yes,
but
100%. You can do the bear
think
thing.
Think about the amount of, like...
I don't really want to think about it.
Nah. Let's get to the game of the year.
They put that in the game. They put so much shit in the game that they even put this druid is going to transform into a bear and you're going to have sex with this druid as
druid
a bear.
Bear?
I don't nice, know. Look, not nice my backpedal. Thing. I just think it's crazy.
Yeah.
The game of the year is...
Metro Prime.
Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Anybody got it? Is that it? Let's just drop the mic and we can just go.
Please listen to all of our previous episodes.
Yeah, every episode since it came out, basically.
Yeah, basically from June to, like, what, November? That's
last
pretty
week.
Much all we talked about. Yeah, exactly.
I still have it.
Fantastic game. Oh,
although
you have
I picked it up again on my vacation. It was so nice to have the Switch and, like, you know... when you're just so tired of being around your entire family for a family vacation and you just curl up in bed and put a portable game on and that portable game happens to be one of the best video games ever fucking made.
Sounds about right.
Because it felt like heaven. It was magic. I hated all of the Zelda merch at the Nintendo Store in New York and I goddamn came so close to buying some of it because I love this game so much. They had a statue of Link with the blue arm, and I wanted him to grab my head so bad, but I felt like I would get yelled at for touching the statue.
Probably.
His
and
arm was
subsequently
out like
kicked
this.
Out.
You've seen this pose, right? Where he's got his arm
right.
out.
Right.
It was so rad.
Doing
anyways,
the Iron Man.
So, I'm going to talk about this game the quickest, because... I want y'all to be able to have a spoilery discussion about it if there's going to be more talking about it. What I'll say is, I'm still not sure if it's as impactful for me as Breath of the Wild was. I am worried that it's the only game I will ever play ever again because I've spent a whole year and haven't beaten it. The narrative beats in it hit so hard. I was so glad when I got to them. Like, there's some very specific ones that I chatted with you all about, and I'm going to keep this as spoiler-free as possible, other than the fact that Link has a cool blue arm. Like, I think it's a very smart game in the way that it's an overwhelming amount of game, but if you played Breath of the Wild, you already know what one-third of it is. And it takes that and it plays with your expectations of that first third and then says, but what if there was actually more? And I think it's really, really smart that they changed all of the verbs, like the powers verbs. I was confused at first why it wasn't just an expansion of your power set. But I think it makes you recontextualize all of that initial map in an entirely different way when you approach it with these new verbs that they've given you, in the sense of, like, mass, whatever, God Hand or whatever the fuck it's called. I can't remember mm-hmm. this thing at the time. Right? It had you had the freeze ability and stasis and stuff, you would fall into the trap that I find myself falling into already. Like, you could just play the game the way you did already. Whereas, if you take the verbs away and show you the same space, sort of, but different, and then you give different verbs, now all of a sudden, that recontextualization makes it a new game entirely. So that's why I like Tears of the Kingdom. You can't find me on the internet, but you can find me on this podcast and at Mostly Normal Monthly. But I'm going to go because my family is upstairs, and I want to go spend time with my sisters.
All right, deuces.
Happy game of the year, y'all.
Bye.
I think that's pretty well summarized. Do you guys think you could go back to Breath of the Wild and still enjoy it?
I think you could. I think it's just, it's going back for a smaller experience, I guess. But, yeah, like, it's not...
It's weird to think of it that way, because... I'll fix it, James.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm already looking at it. I was like, what's happening here?
It's, I don't know. I don't know. Like, part of the reason I didn't like Breath of the Wild was, like, there weren't any ways to circumvent the things that they put into it. Like, and I feel like the way that it is now, like, in Tears of the Kingdom, you have the ability to do so many other things that make the game enjoyable. Like, you know, building things and changing the environment slightly around you, not like terraforming or anything, but like, you know, you can make vehicles, and if you can't, say you don't have the stamina to get up that cliff, okay, well, you know what you do have? You have a rocket and a shield, so you can just launch yourself up 30 feet and then glide the rest of the way or whatever. You know what I mean? You can get rid of a lot of problems that the Breath of the Wild doesn't really get rid of. You know what I mean?
I really liked how they all a lot of the powers, with the exception of Fuse. Like, Fuse is good, like, on its own, and it does its own thing, and there's a lot of creativity. But everything else works together, like, seamlessly. Like, you can use... I'm going to use Rewind, or a God Hand to move things around, then I'm going to use Rewind to move that in a specific order or whatever, so I can now ride it to this point, and then I'm going to use the Swim Up to get, because now I've lifted myself to this lip, so I can swim up through things. I was constantly using, or I would be like, I'm going to take this log, I'm going to make it longwise, I'm going to put it above me, I'm going to hold it there, I'm going to rewind it, and then I'm going to swim up through that log and jump off. Like, there's just so many, like, usages that uses those three powers in conjunction, rather than, like, in Breath of the Wild, you had cryo or whatever, and it's like, that does one thing, and then you've got stasis, and that does one thing, and then you got the bombs, and that does one thing, and you could do really incredible things with that game. Like, look, like, you pull speedrunning that game, do insane stuff with Breath of the Wild, but they never really worked in tandem, and in this game they just do. Like, you use them all to, like, you could do them all, and then afterwards you can launch up with your rocket shield, or you can do something incredible. I made Metal Gear in Breath of the Wild, or not Breath, Tears of the Kingdom. I made a Metal Gear that shot beams out of its railgun and everything, but, like, it was super costly of materials and whatnot, but, like, I could, like, create it with the
schematics or whatever. Yeah.
I just saved it as one of those.
Auto build.
Oh, yeah.
Auto build, oh, man. It was.
What a fantastic sandbox. But, like, it's just, like you said, you can just use all of them to do everything. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked Breath of the Wild, and I could still easily, you know, go and play that game again. Not a problem. Because I think that I got into the game so late when it came out. Like, I didn't get into it right when it came out. I think it was, like, a year or something later than that. but I was so fascinated with it. And then, when Tears of the Kingdom came out, obviously I was excited about it because there's more things and it's, you know, a next step, I guess, from Breath of the Wild. But I think, for me, Breath of the Wild is going to be one of those, like, I don't want to say nostalgic, but one of those games that I can just go back to and play again just because it was just fun, and that's what brought me in, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's why I'm wondering if I don't have that, because I never liked it to begin with.
I don't think you would. I think you're just shot. But the Tears of the Kingdom, it was a fantastic game, and they definitely upgraded the ending of that game.
Oh, my
from
God.
Breath of the Wild. Definitely upgraded it. I loved the ending of it.
So
it
cool.
did not disappoint whatsoever. And that's what I was worried about when I started the game, because I was like, Breath of the Wild's ending was kind of
meh.
It did, like, did that, what just happened? Is that it?
Yeah.
That's it, right? That's it. And then, like, you're done. But this one, it just kept going, and you had to keep fighting, and But it wasn't like a dragging it on, like, what the hell, when is this going to stop? It was like, oh man, I'm excited for the next part.
Not dragging it on, right?
He knows.
Yeah, no, I totally, like, everybody I've talked to about that ending was like, oh man, like, this is something special. And it was like, you're experiencing something, like, just, this is what we wanted at the end of Breath of the Wild, right? Like, this is the cinematic moment.
Well, it didn't even have to be that long or big, right? Yeah. But just, like, better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better.
Even, yeah. It all plays into it, too. Like, the last bit of the game is so epic. And then it, mm-hmm. you know, it transitions into the ending so much better that lasts, like, I don't know, 5 hours or whatever it is. It's pretty sweet, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
and I feel like you can give away some of the pieces, too, with, like, when Zelda turned herself into the dragon. I was like, is she just going to be a fucking dragon forever? Like, what? How's that going to work out? That's not going to work out like that. Nobody's going to like that.
I was actually really hoping that that would be
just be a dragon forever, and then another game comes out, and she's just still a dragon.
She's the dragon.
That would actually be really cool.
That would be cool.
I'm really hoping that they're done with the Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom universe.
I mean, I agree. I think they could have just ended there and be fine.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm really, truly hoping for, is seeing, like, we did it. Like, this was the capstone. Please don't drag us through all this shit again. Let's do something new. And that's what I've always loved about Zelda in the past, was the fact that it's not sequels. It's new experiences. And I know there's a timeline now, but that's all just them trying to fit it all together after the fact. But, like, I like the fact that we were experiencing new worlds, new, like, nothing's going to be the same, but there's going to be a lot that's kind of the same. So,
yeah, exactly.
You're familiar with it, but you're, I don't know, I want to see new.
Yeah.
Show me.
You know what a Zora is, but they're not always, like, the same. Exact same. It's not always the exact same. They always amaze
Sometimes
us.
Even though I like the Zora, that was fun. That was one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think...
Not Tears of the Kingdom, I just meant of, like, I mean, they're great and all, but they're one of my favorite parts in the, like, over
the universe.
Time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
really.
Yeah,
yeah. So, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're, like, going in Jubba Jubba's belly.
My favorite part is, like, that the king.
Yeah.
He's like, has to move over for you. And so,
scooching over.
It's like, what, is this really taking forever? What are you doing?
Oh, man. Yeah, that game, I don't know how they'll figure out how to make a game as good or even remotely close to Tears of the Kingdom, but they amaze us pretty much every time they do it, so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Apparently they're working on it already. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I can't imagine they aren't, so.
Yeah.
But, well, that'll do it. I think that... Oh.
Go ahead, James.
Go.
One last thing.
No, I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Took the wind out of my sails.
It sounded like you had something.
Poof, it's gone.
No,
we're done.
It's fine. I'll only do it again. I'll only add one more thing if you do a drum roll.
I don't know how to do that. Angie, do you know how to do the drum roll thing? That's the best I can do.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
All right. We'll call that our Game of the Year episode. Thank you all for joining us today. You can check out the lowdown in the show notes in the description, as well as the link to magicmind.com/gamers. Use code GAMERS20 to get the discount. You can check us out on the Twitter, the Twitch, YouTube, all that fun stuff. And we'll catch you in 2024. Bye!
Bye!
Bye-bye. I don't know. I was waving. That's a terrible audio format.